It wasn't too long into his childhood in a working-class neighborhood in Queens, New York, that Art Spiegelman fell utterly in love with the zany, colorful, and instructive world of comic books.
My parents were Polish-Jewish refugees and were very much unacculturated into American life. And basically, comic books became my window into America once I discovered them at a very early age. That included the Donald Duck comics and the Little Lulus, but the main one that marked me for life was Mad comics, especially the very early ones. Mad introduced a new visual form of what parody and irony and satire might be. It's now everywhere in American life. Very anarchistic, and comics that carried a kind of message that made you stop, slow down, and look around. You know, basically, I studied Mad the way some other kids studied the Talmud.
Spiegelman began drawing his own comics at his kitchen table and avidly pored through the stacks of used comic books his father bought him on his way home from work. He recalls that when he learned that one could actually earn a living drawing comics...
I wanted to be one of the people that did that because this was the most glowing thing I found around me. It was the most vibrant. It was like peeking into not just the world, but into the brains of the people that made that world.
Spiegelman was fortunate to attend New York's High School of Art and Design, perhaps the only school in the country at that time where comics drawing was taught as a course. At 18, he began a 20-year association with Topps Bubblegum, where he helped create hugely successful novelty products like Garbage Pail Kids and Wacky Packages, stickers, and cards.
And then also trying to make comics that weren't like anything else I saw, that weren't directed toward punchlines, that were kind of surreal. And they had no possible place to be published. Sometimes free association things, they leaned heavily on surrealism, newfound literary inspirations like Endgame by Samuel Beckett. Anyway, it led me toward very odd places, and I now look back at that work as a kind of apprenticeship.
One of those odd places was America's 1960s counterculture, where politically and socially edgy cartoonists like Robert Crumb, Justin Green, and S. Clay Wilson were busy breaking the old rules for what comics were supposed to be. Their strips featured psychedelic drawing styles and decidedly adult themes.
These were things that were out of control, let's say. And that was really exciting. I was trying to out-violent them, out-sex them, out-whatever. And I succeeded enough so that Robert Crumb's wife banned me from the house.
In 1977, Spiegelman published Breakdowns, a collection of his underground comics and other drawings. But the book, which was reissued in 2008 with a new 30-page comics introduction and other material, also included a 3-page gem called Mouse, that dealt with two truly scary themes, Spiegelman's relationship with his father and his father's experience of the Holocaust in Nazi-occupied Poland. Mouse portrayed Jews as mice and Nazis as cats.
It was basically about how he and the family were first put into ghettos and how he ended up in Auschwitz. Told as a funny animal comic style, it seemed like as much of a collision as anything could be. And it was the beginnings of me finding my voice as a cartoonist.
Spiegelman expanded Mouse in Raw magazine, a pioneering avant-garde comics anthology he published with his wife, the artist Françoise Mouly, between 1980 and 1991. The first volume of Mouse, A Survivor's Tale, was published in 1986, the second in 1991. It became an instant classic of Holocaust literature. But Spiegelman says his main goals with the work were formal and artistic.
It wasn't to make the world a better place. On some level, it was about trying to find out how come I'm even in the world when both my parents were supposed to be dead. But also, all I really was thinking about was, wouldn't it be cool to have a comic book so long it needed a bookmark and would demand the same kind of attention from you that a book might demand? Comics not as a story, but as a kind of essay in comics form.
Mouse was awarded the Pulitzer Prize in 1992. The following year, Spiegelman was offered a staff position at the prestigious New Yorker magazine. There, Spiegelman was able to give full vent to his iconoclasm. His controversial 1993 Valentine's Day cover, for example, showed a religious Jew and a young black woman sharing a passionate kiss. But he left the magazine after a personal crisis provoked by the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, which stood about a kilometer from his family's home. Soon, he began to create a series of raw, disjointed drawings which were printed in a German newspaper. They were later published as a book in the 2004 collection In the Shadow of No Towers. Spiegelman says the work mirrored his fragmented internal world and the fractured outer world of George W. Bush's America.
What could have been more fractured than September 11th? So I return to my my most urgent ways of making. You know, the structure of comics is what interested me, and here I was dealing with structures that were falling all around me, the structure of democracy and the structure of those buildings.
Today, Art Spiegelman continues to make comics that make the rest of us think. Current projects include editing, with Françoise Mouly, a toon treasury of classics children's comics. Like his other work, it may well turn out to be both funny and disturbingly serious stuff. I'm Adam Phillips, reporting from New York.